Hey, welcome back to the YCC podcast, and we're entering into week 4 of our 40 days of prayer. We've had an amazing few weeks so far, and we've been looking at different themes of Moses going up the mountain, coming down the mountain, and we want to introduce this week's new theme, which we're going to do in a second. But I'm here with Dan.
Hello.
Very excited to be with you, Dan. I would just love to know, for those watching or listening at home, we're now coming into week 4, we've done 3 weeks of this. Yeah. What has been some of the highlights for you of the 40 days of prayer so far?
Oh, well, I've absolutely loved fasting. I've never done it before in my life, and I was really intrigued to see what it was all about. It seems like a fairly important part of a practice in the Bible. And yeah, I'd just never really done it before, and this opened up that opportunity for me. And I really saw God's goodness through that. And through this practice, I was able to draw on closer to God, and every fasting day I asked, Lord, increase my hunger for you. And that's what he did. He increased my hunger, my fire for him. And that was really cool.
That's brilliant. That's really cool to hear. You're right. It's all through scripture, isn't it? It's something that is invited all the time, and yet we don't talk about it very much. I know, yeah, whenever I do, it's that reminder of, I found that these last few weeks, it's that constant reminder through feeling hungry. Actually, God, I want to lean on you. I want to depend on you. Yeah. I want my hunger for you. It definitely sticks a fire into our prayer life, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's such a good reminder, especially like I'm at the office all day and my tummy's grumbling away and I'm like, I'm gonna pray now. It's great. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I also loved all the services we've done here. Sim did a brilliant talk last week that really encouraged me in my prayer life as well, and that was really, really beneficial for me.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Mm. I think we've seen a real leap forward in people wanting to really push deep into God's presence on Sundays together.
Yeah.
My hope and dream always for Sunday mornings is that we come together to celebrate all the things God's been doing all week in our own lives or in our own stories or in our own families, or we come together despite the challenges and the battles and things we're facing in our own lives and stories, and then we come together as one and we celebrate and glorify God. And I think it's been a real glimpse of that together as we've been doing this.
It's been really good. Yeah.
So we looked at Moses going up the mountain. Mm-hmm. We've looked at Moses coming down the mountain. And we looked at last week the Israelites waiting to enter into the promised land. And then, you know, the fear and then needing to have faith to do that. And so that didn't happen. This week, what is our theme?
Well, our theme is a very exciting one, and one that is talked about in a lot of different ways in the church. And it is the theme of Noah and his ark. And the flood of the world is a really interesting theme to dive deep into, and we're looking at cleansing this week, the cleansing of the world, and more importantly what that cleansing brings forth, and what God wants to do in that, which is really exciting.
So we've got all these stories because they're sort of related around 40. Where does 40 fit into the Noah story?
Well, Noah was in the ark for 40 days, and the flood, well, he was in for a bit longer, but the flood endured for 40 days. And there was that time when he was in the ark and there was all this stuff going on around him. And he had to be within the ark. It was probably quite dark, quite scary place, but he had to trust in God that he would take him out to the other side of this 40 days of probably chaos around him with all the waves. Yeah, so he had to trust in God in those 40 days.
There's something really poetic in all of these stories where it's a waiting season, isn't it? And there's something new to come.
Yeah.
And many people, when they share this story, it's a nice Sunday school story, although it's not a very nice Sunday school story really, is it? Because we kind of get everybody to sit around and then we tell the story of lots and lots and lots of people dying. So it's not actually a very nice Sunday school story, but it's probably the most common one that everybody knows. But you've just said that actually this is not about this is about the waiting, and then there's a cleansing. So tell us a bit more about cleansing and what you mean by that.
What I mean by cleansing is, for instance, in the Noah story, God saw evil in the world, and that broke his heart, that there was so much evil in the world. And he chose to look past the grime, the bad stuff, to something new. He saw that the world could be so much more. He knew the world could be so much more. He was there in Eden. He knew the possibilities of the creation that he made and what it could be. And that's what he wanted for the world. That's what he wants for his people, the very best for them and for his creation. So when he saw all the evil, he was like, there can be so much more. So he looked past all the bad stuff. And he looked to the future of where this beauty could be. So in that cleansing of the world, he didn't just want a clean world. He didn't want, right, it's clean, now let's not touch it, it's clean, that's all I wanted. He wanted beauty from that cleansing. He wanted something new, something truly gorgeous. And that's what he says when the 40 days are over and he's sent out the dove and he knows the land is dry, he doesn't say, Noah, stay in the boat. He says, Noah, go out, be fruitful and multiply. Look at this new thing that I've brought you. In Isaiah 43, it says, look at this new thing I'm doing. He is constantly doing new things in the Bible and in our lives now. And he doesn't want us to look at the past, the grime. He wants to look at this new thing I'm doing. Look at this new thing that I'm bringing into you, and look at this new thing I want to collaborate with you into. That is, I think, the most important thing in the Noah story is it's the new. It's the more, the beauty. God saying, look at where you are now. Look at what you could be doing. Look at what I could bring you into. And that is the beauty. And that's the question we could have every day in our life with Christ. He goes, look at this. He's like, we could be scrolling through Instagram on our phones and that could find us some temporary satisfaction, but God goes, but look at my word. Look how much joy, look how much satisfaction, look how much fulfillment that this can bring you, and look how much closer this can bring you to me. And that is the one of the callings that Jesus brings us on. He's like, this is the thing the world offers. I guess some people could see that it's cool, but look at what I offer. And that's what I feel when I read the story of Noah.
Yeah, I love that. I love the parallels, I guess, when we think about baptism and Jesus inviting people to be, you know, cleansed in that moment. But I like what you said there about Noah isn't told to just stay on the boat and just live in a happy, clean, probably not clean with all the animals, boat. But he's invited to now step into the new. And I guess it's the same in our choice for baptism or choice for salvation and saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. This is not a stagnant, sit still point, is it? This is not something that we do. We say a prayer, we're saved, bish bash bosh.
Yeah.
See in heaven, Jesus. It's actually like I'm cleansed and I'm saved and I'm transformed for something new.
Yeah.
So Adam would always want every story to point back to Jesus as a Christ-centered church. This is a bit of a problematic story, isn't it? Because we don't see wrath in Jesus. We see Jesus as a caring, loving, servant-hearted, washing the feet of his disciples person. I think one of the things that come across to me through the story is, and this is a conversation that we've had with Adam, is around all religions had a flood story. And so there is throughout history, there is evidence that this happened and that there was a flood. But for all the religions that share that story, it always comes back to God being a vengeful, wrathful God that we should fear. Whereas at the end of this story, God's actually highlighting the new and a promise and saying, actually, that's not the God that I am. I'm not a vengeful, wrathful God. I am a God who promises a new life, a new chapter, a new season, and for something new, which is where we see the parallel of Jesus.
Yeah. And that's really beautiful. It's what Jesus is all about. It's that I don't just want to stop when it's clean. I don't just want to stop. Brilliant, you're baptized. Let's leave it there. Let's not try not mess up anymore. He's that, come do this with me. He's saying, come, let's do this together. Let's make something beautiful. Let's live a life that is just so beautiful. And it's a relationship that is worth having. Because if it was just you're clean, good, Jesus just kind of left you there, clean, don't do anything else, it's just been naff. But he invites us into each day. And from baptism, we know we're not all completely clean. There are still areas in our lives that there are more possibilities. And each day, God asks us, do you want more? And all we have to do is go, yes, Lord, on what? And he will take you on that journey. God is a jealous God. He wants all of you and all of your time. And he if you ask for more, if you say, I want to put this down, I want to put this worldly thing down, I want to be cleansed from that, and I want more of you, he'll never leave you empty.
Mm.
He might take that thing away, but he will fill you up so much more with the Spirit. Mm. He will fill you up so much more with the riches of heaven rather than the riches of earth.
Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful.
That is really beautiful. So we're obviously in 40 days of prayer for a reason. I mean, pursuing Jesus, of course we want to do that every day anyway, but we are here because of the financial situation we find ourselves in. You know, members of staff now here are having to have their hours changed, and some people are having to, you know, they won't be working here anymore, and we're going through the squeeze as a staff team. Literally this week we're trying to do the logistics of fitting people back into offices and space, and it, in many ways, like, it does feel a lot like we're in the storm or like we're in the flood. How do we hold the hope for the new? And I mean, you're speaking with great excitement, and I love that, because I think there is great excitement for what's next. How do we as a church, hold the hope for what's new, and what could new look like off the back of this?
Yeah, well, about holding that hope, it can be really difficult in those dark times, but it's all about remembering the truth of who Jesus is, and whether that's remembering things he's done in the Bible or things he's done in our own individual lives before, we can look back and we say, no, we know that our God is God of transformation. Mm. We know that our God is a God of breakthrough. We know from that rainbow in the sky that he will not flood the world again. He will not cleanse us without bringing something new. And he will always break through. He will always bring something new. And that's a truth that we hold on to. And as we put our hope and our truth in that, as we lean on that, we, as collaborators in Christ, we bring that forth. As we put our trust in Christ, we live that out each day, and it will bring forth that transformation through that trust and that truth in Christ of who he is and what he is doing. We know that he is moving. We know that he will not forsake us because of all the things he's done in our lives. He's faithful each and every day. So as we hold on to that truth, and then as we hold on to that hope, we can go, we're fairly certain that he will move, and he will do cool things.
So we're halfway through now.
Yeah.
This comes out on day 22.
22.
We've seen some amazing things happen so far, but we've still got a load of time to come. What is an encouragement you would like to give to the church, to people watching this, listening to this, about how we keep going, how we keep pushing into the new and not just sitting on the ark?
Yeah, well, I just want to say from personal reference, it is just so beautiful. The fact that Jesus wants to do this with us, that he's inviting us into this each and every day, that it's not an opportunity we want to pass us by. I would really encourage you each and every day to just sit with God, spend time with him, and ask him, where is there more in my life? Where am I not having the full potential of you in that area of my life? And just listen to the Spirit, see what he says to you, and really invite him into that situation. And as you put your trust in that, and you put your hope that God will do something, he will come and he will move, and he will bring something beautiful in your lives. He will bring transformation. He will bring revelation. He will do something in your lives. And that is very, very beautiful. And that's very exciting. And I'm very excited.
Amazing. So yeah, so keep joining in. We've got to keep pushing in. If you're not receiving our devotionals, and you'd like to, if you just head to yeovil.cc/40days, that actually has all the information about what's going on and how you can sign up to our mailing list there. But yeah, don't stop at this point. Let's not just go through the motions of reading the devotionals. Let's keep pursuing God every day when we gather in our small groups, when we gather on Sunday mornings, when we meet with God in our own lives. Let's keep pushing because he has more for us. Let's not sit on the ark, but let's move into the fullness of life that God has for us. Amazing.
Amen.
Have a great week.
Goodbye.